WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, some offbeat Christmas music. The Ben Vaughan Combo will perform a couple of rock and roll originals and do their version of Ben's favorite Christmas song. Later, he'll play some novelty Christmas records for us. Also today, critic Maureen Corrigan tells us about some of her favorite new children's books, and film critic Stephen Schiff reviews Philadelphia, starring Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. That's all coming up on this Christmas Eve Fresh Air. First, the news.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff. NPR's President Clinton and First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton extended holiday greetings to the nation today and got in a little last-minute shopping. NPR's Corva Coleman reports.
The President and the First Lady videotaped holiday greetings that will be broadcast all through Christmas Day. The President says peoples around the world are embracing the principles of democracy, making this indeed a year worthy of the Prince of Peace. The President has also telephoned 10 members of the military who are stationed around the world from Korea to Somalia. He asked them to convey Christmas greetings to their troops. The first family spent part of Christmas Eve shopping in Washington, D.C. They're being joined for the holiday by members of their immediate family for a traditional Christmas Day meal of turkey and dressing, sweet potatoes, and pumpkin pie. Next week, the family will go to Hilton Head, South Carolina to relax. They'll return to Washington on January 2nd. I'm Corva Coleman in Washington.
Officials in southern Russia said today that four masked gunmen have released some of the school children they've held as hostages in an extortion attempt. The gunmen released five boys, two girls, and a teacher after officials handed over $10 million in U.S. currency, but they're still holding at least seven other hostages. The kidnappers have said they may release the remaining hostages in Azerbaijan before proceeding on to Iran in a hijacked helicopter. The celebrations in Bethlehem were almost canceled today after Israelis removed a Palestinian flag flying from the mayor's office. Israeli officials claim that it violated an agreement of no nationalist symbols on official buildings. The BBC's John Devitt reports from Jerusalem.
Israel and the PLO are supposed to be in the process of resolving their differences, and the mayor of Bethlehem, Elias Frege, has been planning festivities to remember. However, just like the peace process, nothing is straightforward. Mayor Frege's plans have been in danger of disintegrating over the finer points of Israeli-Palestinian relations. First, the Israelis stopped the import of a Christmas tree donated by Norway. Norway, the country that had mediated in the peace accord, couldn't get round Israel's tough import restrictions. Then the row over the Palestinian flag that Mayor Frege wants to fly outside his office, which overlooks Manger Square. A nationalistic statement that the Israelis haven't been prepared to accept. There's an uncomfortable parallel with the peace negotiations themselves. High hopes apparently foundering on the details.
The BBC's John Devitt. A UN mediator appealed today to Angola's warring factions to stay involved in the peace process. The mediator made his appeal after a UNITA rebel spokesman said his faction might not return to negotiations after the Christmas recess. This is NPR News. As the Christmas shopping season draws to a close, retail analysts say it's been a good one for dealers in home furnishings, appliances, and electronics, but a slow one for clothing stores. Analysts said consumers were holding out for bargains and putting off purchases until the last minute. The New England fishing industry faces severe restrictions starting early next year because of depleted haddock stocks. Eve Epstein of member station WBUR reports.
The National Marine Fisheries Service says haddock stocks are dangerously low. Under new rules to take effect January 3rd, boats will be allowed no more than 500 pounds of haddock per trip, and haddock spawning grounds on Georgia's Bank will close a month early. The action comes days after Canada announced similar restrictions. The limits could mean higher prices for fish lovers and hard times for those who make a living off New England waters. Angela Sanfilippo, president of an association of fishermen's wives in the seaside town of Gloucester, told the Boston Globe the rule will deprive fishermen not only of haddock, but of other groundfish as well. Federal officials defend the action, saying this year's haddock catch is expected to hit a record low. For National Public Radio, I'm Eve Epstein in Boston.
Money Magazine has published its yearly state-by-state breakdown of state taxes and found that New Yorkers bear the heaviest tax burden and Alaskans have the lightest. For 1993, the states were compared on the basis of what a hypothetical well-off family of four would have to pay. In Alaska, where most state revenue comes from oil and gas royalties, that family would pay only about $1,700. The same family in New York would pay nearly seven times as much, or more than $11,000. Money Magazine said its hypothetical family earned a combined income of around $79,000. The top of the high-tax list also included the District of Columbia in Maryland. This is NPR.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. What's better on Christmas Eve than Christmas music? We have a Christmas concert, and I'm not sure if you'll be disappointed or relieved when I tell you no carols. The rock and roll group The Ben Vaughan Combo, or at least three-quarters of it, is going to perform some original Christmas music and one of Ben's favorite Christmas songs. Our concert was recorded last Christmas Eve. The Combo's latest album is called Mood Swings. Ben Vaughan has a new solo album called Mono USA, featuring his cover versions of obscure rock and roll records. He'll be back with us in early 1994 to talk about it. Ben also led the band for our Arthur Alexander concert last spring, and we're going to rebroadcast that concert next week. For our Christmas concert, we have Ben Vaughan on guitar and vocals, Aldo Jones bass, Gus Kordovox accordion, and Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet sleigh bells. Ben, let me ask you to introduce the first tune you're going to do.
It's a song by the Sonics from 1965. It's called Hey Santa Claus, and it's got your typical concerns. It's a very selfish kind of rock and roll song, but the Sonics were the first grunge rock band to ever come out of Seattle.
And when did you learn this song?
I've always known it.
Yeah. But,
I'm trying to tell everybody now.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear it.
Okay.
Great.
Santa Claus, tell me where you've been. I've been waiting up just to let you in. Hey Santa Claus, where you been so long? Now don't you do me wrong. I want me a car, a twangy guitar, a cute little honey, and lots and lots of money, Santa Claus. Won't you tell me, please, what you gonna put under my Christmas tree? And he just said nothing, 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 nothing. I want me a car, a twangy guitar, a cute little honey, and lots of money, Santa Claus. Won't you tell me, please, what you gonna put under my Christmas tree? And he just said nothing, 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 nothing.
Fantastic. That's really great. Do you guys play Christmas songs much? I mean, do you have occasion to play this stuff?
We used to do a surf instrumental version of Noel.
Oh, how about a few bars?
I don't think we can remember that.
No?
We actually ended up calling it The Last Noel because it was just terrible.
Would you do another song for us?
Sure.
Love to.
This is one I wrote about 4 years ago, and I forgot I even wrote it, and I found a tape of it, and turned out it wasn't that bad of a song, so this is called Christmas Feeling. I don't like to sit in traffic jams at Christmas time. I don't like to push and shove. I don't like to stand in line. But when Christmas morning comes, you can almost believe the world could live as one. And all the Christmas feels coming around. Yeah, the Christmas feeling is coming around again this year. If you're driving to the shopping mall, don't be discouraged. When you pull into the parking lot, have a lot of courage and pray that someday people might do something cable TV didn't tell them to do. You better check yourself too. Oh, the Christmas feeling is coming around. Yeah, the Christmas feeling is coming around again this year. Ah, rock on, Blitzen. One time for Santa. God, or just believe in the good of man, then lay down your shopping bags and take your brother's hand. I know it sounds like a cliche, but we could make the whole year feel like Christmas Day. What do you say? Oh, the Christmas feeling is coming around. Yeah, the Christmas feeling is coming around again this year. Again this year. Again this year. Again this year.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Drive carefully. See you next year.
Well, that's great. We're listening to a performance by three quarters of the Ben Vaughan combo. And we have Ben Vaughan on guitar and vocals, Gus Kordovox on accordion, Aldo Jones on bass.
And Amy Salad.
And Amy Salad, Fresh Air producer. This is what's really making the sound, ladies and gentlemen. It's Amy Salad, one of Fresh Air's producers on Sleigh Bells. Very good, Amy. Good job. She's got the rhythm. Well, that was a great song, Ben. What inspired you to write a Christmas song?
I think I was in a traffic jam. And I had a lot of time on my hands, and I write in my car most of the time anyway, so it was Christmas time. I was stuck in a traffic jam, and it came out. It's kind of a cynical yet optimistic kind of song.
With a line about if we could only join hands, is it?
Yeah, take your brother's hand. I don't want to exclude the sisters either, everybody, all of us.
The combo has such a great sound. It's really unique instrumentation, I think, guitar, accordion, bass.
We have a hubcap player, but he's not here right now.
Aldo, I have to ask you about the bass. It's
It's a really interesting looking bass. It's a very unusual bass that I think you built yourself.
Yes.
Aldo, would you describe it for us?
Well, it's shaped like a triangle. It's a balalaika, and it's of my own design. And there you have it.
It's an Aldo Jones model.
But, you know, it's not just the design that's unique. It's the sound you get from it. Can you just
play
it on its own a little bit?
That's just the way it came out. You know, I wanted a mariachi bass, but at the time they're not very available, so I had to make one myself. And this is the easiest design because I didn't have to curve wood.
Oh, right.
So I just squared it off.
Well, just play a few notes so we hear how it sounds different from a regular bass.
You recognize that tune, too.
Yeah.
It's got a real guitar bass kind of sound.
Yeah.
It's like
almost
a cross
different
between the two.
That's just the way it came out.
You didn't expect it to sound that way?
I didn't know what it would sound like when I finished it. I'm just happy that it works at all.
Ben, when you were putting together the Ben Vaughan combo, what made you decide on this instrumentation?
I wanted everything to fit in one car. I'm serious. Actually, I wanted an acoustic rock and roll band with a keyboard, and accordion is really the only acoustic keyboard that I'm a big fan of like Sam Nasham and the Pharaohs and the Sir Douglas Quintet and everything. They always had an organ part. Gus, play the typical Sam Nasham and the right. Like, that's enough.
Knock it off.
That's quite enough.
And, hey, it was solo. I had to keep going.
And like a lot of Texas rock and roll records and everything had this organ sound that was playing eighth notes through a tune, and I really liked that. And the accordion, I guess really that kind of organ playing is really inspired by Mexican accordion playing, which is heard a lot in Texas. And it just worked really great right away. We had upright bass, acoustic guitar, snare drum with brushes, and accordion. We were able to play on a street corner or on a stage. It didn't matter. Our sound was always the same no matter where we went, and that really... I was, you know, really attracted to that idea.
Did you do a lot of street corners?
We did, but the police kept chasing us away. We would gather crowds. We got pretty popular at doing it, and the crowds would form, and cars couldn't get by, so the police would chase us to another corner, and we tried again, and we finally gave up.
Huh. Well, can I ask you to do another song for us?
Sure. This song is called The Man Who Is Everything, and a lot of people think it's a Christmas song, and I'm starting to believe them. When I wrote it, it wasn't, but it does mention Christmas in the first verse, so I guess it's a Christmas song. Every year when you buy your Christmas gifts, there's always one name left on the bottom of your list. Well, you can search and search in every store, but you won't find nothing that I ain't had before. 'Cause I'm the man.
He's the man who has everything.
I'm the man.
He's the man who has everything.
Yes, I am.
He's the man who has everything but you.
No, I don't have you. I got a rhinestone bathtub, it's filled with champagne, on the first class section of my own private plane. I got a full-time tailor, keep on working all day, 'cause I wear my clothes once and then I throw them away. 'Cause I'm the man.
He's the man who has everything.
I'm the man.
He's the man who has everything.
Yes, I am.
He's the man who has everything.
They all look with envy when I go walking by, but if they took a closer look, they'd see the tears in my eyes. 'Cause I'm the man. I eat a T-bone steak 3 times a day. I got a big old limousine with electric ashtrays. I got a house in Tahiti. It's a $1 billion home, but it ain't worth nothing when I'm there all alone. 'Cause I'm the man.
He's the man who has everything.
I'm the man.
He's the man who has everything.
Yes, I am.
He's the man who has everything but you. He's the man who has everything.
Well, I don't have you.
He's the man who has everything.
Well, I don't have you.
He's the man who has everything.
No, I don't have you.
fantastic.
Thank
you. It really sounded great. That's Ben Vaughan, guitar and vocals. He wrote the song. Aldo Jones on bass and Gus Cordovox on accordion, and Fresh Air producer Amy Salad on sleigh bells. Good work, Amy. Making her musical debut. let me ask each of you what your favorite or most detested Christmas song is.
You want to start with me? You're
sure.
Looking at me.
Yeah, this is Aldo.
I kind of like Elvis' Blue Christmas.
As favorite?
I'll have a blue Christmas.
I know you're going to cut that out, right?
Aldo is a part-time Elvis imitator.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I borrow this white jeweled jumpsuit with a zipper all the way down to the belly button and big flared trousers.
And aviator shades.
And aviator shades, yes.
Well, where did you do it?
At home.
I did it at some small corner bars. I just break out and everybody be like surprised. There's Elvis.
Do you want to do a whole chorus of Blue Christmas for us?
Well, when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling.
That sounds like Dean Martin to me.
Well, Elvis always said he liked Dean Martin.
I think that's right. That's what it sounds like when you have to drink eggnog.
Too much eggnog there, Aldo.
Well, that's great. Ben, do you have a favorite or least liked Christmas record?
My favorite is Christmas in Jail by the Youngsters.
That's one of the records you have with you.
It's a weird old R&B record that's just completely idiotic.
Gus?
I always still hark back to that AM hit from my childhood, which was Jingle Bell Rock. I really enjoy that song. I still do.
Do you want to play a few bars of any of the aforementioned favorites or any other? Just
I don't think that's a good idea.
No, all right.
I think you heard enough.
That would ruin Christmas.
After that Elvis impersonation, I don't want to follow that up. Boy.
Where do you go after that?
Nowhere.
No. Well, it was really great to have you here. The music sounded terrific. And thanks a lot for being with us. And Ben will be back with us to play some records. This is Fresh Air. It's Christmas Eve, panic time for sluggish shoppers. In fact, by the time you hear this, the stores might already be closed. But it's never too late to pick up swell books for the children in your life.
Some of the little video urchins I know need a friendly visit from Dickens' Ghost of Christmas Future to show them the awful vision of what buttheads they'll turn into if they don't start reading now. And if supernatural strong-arming doesn't succeed, here are some wonderful new books almost guaranteed to work their magic on even the most reluctant, runt-sized readers. Revisionist history is hot these days. Columbus, the Pilgrims, Geronimo. If their reputations are being overhauled, why should we be surprised by these fresh opening words to an old children's story? Once upon a time, there were three cuddly little wolves with soft fur and fluffy tails who lived with their mother. One day, the mother called the three little wolves around her and said, "My children, it is time for you to build a house for yourselves, but beware of the big bad pig." That's right, The Three Little Wolves and the Big Bad Pig is a giggly, sweet book for little kids about a psychopathic pig who uses a sledgehammer, pneumatic drill, and dynamite to blow the wolves' houses apart. For concerned parents, there's also a nice lesson here about resolving conflicts through mutual cooperation. My next recommendation is Giants in the Land by historian Diana Applebaum. It's a haunting story about the ancient pine forests that once covered New England. These giant trees were about as big as the more famous California redwoods, but most of them were chopped down before the Revolution and made into masts for English warships. Giants in the Land is more than just ecological agitprop. In stunning black and white drawings, it also dramatizes the ingenuity of the men who chopped the trees down and transported them hundreds of miles to the sea by teams of oxen. To flesh out the urban fantasies of kids or adults who've grown to love New York through years of watching Miracle on 34th Street, I recommend a gorgeous book entitled My New York by folk artist Kathy Jacobson. There are richly detailed paintings and foldouts here of the Empire State Building, Central Park, and even the Baby Watson Cheesecake Factory. In Jacobson's idyllic New York, even the subway rats smile. Finally, there are two great new books for older kids. Cartoonist Jules Pfeiffer has written and illustrated his first children's book, entitled The Man in the Ceiling. It's about an awkward boy named Jimmy who wants to be a cartoonist. He creates a weird superhero named Mini-Man. The only adult who encourages Jimmy is his uncle Lester, who writes flop Broadway plays. Lester tells Jimmy that every failure is a piece of future luck. And by the end of Pfeiffer's enchanting story, even an old cynic like me agreed with Uncle Lester. Somebody else who embraced Uncle Lester's philosophy of life was Eleanor Roosevelt. Two summers ago, I read the first volume of Blanche Weisden Cook's celebrated but controversial biography of Eleanor, so I plan to just skim a new kid's version of her life by Russell Friedman for comparison. But Eleanor Roosevelt, A Life of Discovery, was too good to skim. Friedman suspensefully describes Eleanor's transformation from a colorless echo of her husband to the first lady of the world. He supplies just enough historical detail and plenty of adventurous anecdotes about Eleanor, like the one about how she and Amelia Earhart, both dressed in evening gowns, got into a two-seater plane one day and flew off into the clouds. I think any pre-adolescent girls or boys who aren't inspired by this biography deserve coals instead of books in their Christmas stockings.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. Here's more Christmas music from Brave Combo.
He's got a beard that's long and white. Who comes around on a special night?
Santa comes around on a special night.
Special night, beard that's white. Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus. Who wears boots and a suit of red?
Santa wears boots and a suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on head, suit that's red. Special night, beard that's white.
Red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way? Ho ho ho.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Borders, where the love of books and music sets the standard. Additional support comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
From Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. Some people like their Christmas music to be traditional. Others like their holiday music a little more irreverent. Coming up, rock musician and songwriter Ben Vaughan plays some of his favorite rock and roll novelty Christmas records. Also, Stephen Schiff reviews Philadelphia, Jonathan Demme's new film starring Tom Hanks as a lawyer who loses his job because he has AIDS. That's all coming up on Fresh Air.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Ann Bozell. UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali paid a visit to North Korea today for talks with North Korean officials about their suspected nuclear weapons program. North Korea says it told Mr. Ghali it wants a negotiated and peaceful resolution to the dispute. So far, it has refused to allow international inspection of its facilities. The BBC's Adrian Edwards reports from Seoul, South Korea.
As Boutros Ghali's visit to North Korea gets down to business, it's doing so away from the eyes of the world's media. Apart from a UN camera crew, the international press were left on the southern side of the border which separates the two Koreas as Boutros Ghali stepped across. Although North Korea has welcomed his visit, a foreign ministry statement said it was common knowledge that the United Nations is responsible for the split of the Korean Peninsula. No details have been given of Boutros Ghali's schedule, but is expected to hold a series of meetings with North Korea's President Kim Il-sung and other officials. He'll discuss the concern over North Korea's suspected nuclear weapons program. Analysts in Seoul, however, are skeptical about the chances for any breakthrough. The UN, they say, is not considered a major player in the issue. Boutros Ghali's visit is unlikely to provide the necessary catalyst for change.
Adrian Edwards reporting. Pope John Paul II has sent the world a Christmas wish for a new beginning. Thousands of worshippers packed St. Peter's Basilica and Square as the Pope said midnight mass. His message was broadcast to more than 40 countries. In the spirit of the holiday season, New Yorkers are taking up a businessman's offer to exchange their guns for toys. Dick Hinchcliffe of member station WNYC reports.
A police department spokesman calls it a miracle at the 34th precinct. That's where New York residents of Washington Heights and Upper Manhattan are invited to bring their firearms, each of which earns a $100 gift certificate at the popular chain store Toys R Us. The idea is the brainchild of businessman Fernando Mateo, who put up $5,000 of his own money. With the initial pot depleted thanks to some 135 gun exchanges as of this morning, others have stepped forward to help out. Two anonymous donors have contributed a total of $10,000, and that sum has been matched by three Toys R Us executives. The Toys R Us exchange offers slightly more value than an ongoing police department program that pays up to $75 for every gun. According to one police inspector, the important thing is to get guns off of New York City's streets. For National Public Radio, I'm Dick Hinchcliffe reporting.
President Clinton spent part of his Christmas Eve telephoning American troops stationed around the world. He thanked them for their service to their country. Tonight, the First Family attends religious ceremonies at Washington National Cathedral. This is NPR News in Washington. Thousands of Europeans are spending Christmas Eve in emergency shelters following the worst flooding in nearly a quarter century. At least seven deaths are blamed on floods from this week's heavy rains. Tens of thousands of people were evacuated, and damages in Germany, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands are expected to climb into the tens of millions of dollars. With more than 2 years before the next presidential election, Democrats are already thinking about the site for their 1996 convention. Kitty Feldy reports from Los Angeles.
Five cities have been asked to solicit bids: Los Angeles, Chicago, Kansas City, New Orleans, and San Antonio. President Clinton will have the final say, and senior advisors to the president say he's leaning toward either Chicago or Los Angeles. Both cities would provide a symbolic backdrop for the theme of healing. The last time Democrats met in Chicago in 1968, divisiveness inside the convention hall was more than matched by violence in the streets. The last time Los Angeles hosted the Democrats was in 1960, when John Kennedy was nominated. A 1996 Democratic convention in Los Angeles would showcase the city's new convention center and highlight its efforts to rebuild after last year's riots. For National Public Radio, this is Kitty Feldy in Los Angeles.
Russia's new constitution took effect today. The nation's first post-Soviet charter was approved in a nationwide referendum December 12th. It gives Russian President Boris Yeltsin an edge in power over the new parliament, also elected on December 12th. Parliament is expected to be dominated by opponents of Yeltsin's economic reforms. A holiday ceasefire in Bosnia has all but collapsed. Radio broadcasts say at least two people in Sarajevo were killed today by heavy shelling. There are also reports of fighting in western and central Bosnia. This is NPR in Washington.
This is Fresh Air. Christmas has inspired an enormous body of pop music, some of it really square, some of it really wild.
Dig that crazy Santa Claus with his red suit on. Dig that walk, that crazy talk.
Man, oh man, he's really gone.
Dig that crazy Santa Claus with his bag of toys. Drags his sack through a chimney stack.
All the little hip cats jump for joy.
Cool it, Rudolph, cool it. With your nose aglow, tell those groovy reindeer when Santa starts to blow.
Go, go!
Dig that crazy.
That's Dig That Crazy Santa Claus, recorded in 1954 by Oscar McLally and his Honey Jumpers. Ben Vaughn is back with us, and he's brought in some pretty catchy Christmas novelty recordings. Vaughn is a rock guitarist, songwriter, and singer. He has a new solo album called Mono USA on Bar None Records. I'll let him introduce the first record.
Yeah, this is the Ventures Christmas record from 1966, and the Ventures are one of my favorite things ever. They're an instrumental band. The first one sounds like What I Say by Ray Charles, and then it turns into, well, you guess what it is. Jingle bells, right?
Got it.
Yeah, and Let's grab another one. This one starts out with the Johnny Rivers version of Memphis, Tennessee, which is not the better one, but it also turns into a Christmas carol.
Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah, pretty stupid, huh? How about this is I Feel Fine by the Beatles. Let's hear what happens with this.
Oh, this is terrific.
I think we need to hear a whole one. Sleigh Ride is probably the best one on there because they begin it with Walk, Don't Run, which was the Ventures' biggest hit. So let's hear that.
Thank you.
I listened to that and I can't help but wonder like how the Ventures felt about recording the record. It's really fun. It's a great record, but I wonder if they were really gritting their teeth the whole time.
Oh, I don't know. They were pretty shameless.
Yeah?
Yeah, they had some pretty opportunistic song choices through the years.
Have you taken a lot from the Ventures sound in your own guitar playing?
Oh, yeah. I've stolen many, many things from them. They were great.
Well, we're here to wish everybody Merry Christmas, and Ben Vaughan is with us, and he's brought a lot of seasonal music with him, all kind of wild, crazy type of things, a lot of them novelty tunes, and we're going to take a short break. More music after this. This is Fresh Air. Just joining us, my guest is Ben Vaughan. He's a guitarist, singer, and songwriter. So we asked Ben, who's also a record collector and record producer, to bring down some Christmas music for us today, and he's brought some pretty cool stuff here.
You actually asked me to bring you down, which
which leads us to the next record.
Which leads us to the next record. This is by the Youngsters, which is an R&B group, and it's in 1956. It's called Christmas in Jail, and it's kind of a warning to all the drunk drivers out there.
Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail, had a little too much to drink. Ain't got no bail, ain't got no bail, and I'm spending New Year's Eve in the clink. I was in the wrong lane, feeling no pain, suit my car to 75, ran right into, you can guess who, and they say I'm looking. They're singing down the street while everybody's having Christmas turkey. They give me bread and water to eat. Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail. Wore my shoes out pacing the floor. Got rocks in my head. I wish I was dead. Ain't gonna drink and drive no more. They're singing down the street while everybody's having Christmas turkey. They give me bread and water to eat. Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail. Wore my shoes out pacing the floor. Got rocks in my head. I wish I was dead. Ain't gonna drink and drive no more. Ain't gonna drink and drive no more.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna drink and drive no more.
Merry Christmas!
That's by the Youngsters. Do you know who they are?
I have no idea who they are. They probably don't even know who they are themselves. And while they recorded that, I'm sure they didn't know who they were. But they'll never drive drunk again.
Yeah, that is for certain. What's next?
James Brown. Santa goes straight to the ghetto.
What year is it from?
I think it's a direct order, not a request. It sounds like a direct order to me. It's 1968, and the song was co-written by Hank Ballard. And as a matter of fact, he mentions Hank Ballard in the song. He says, tell him Hank Ballard sent you.
Hank Ballard did Thrill on Hell and...
Mm-hmm. Well, he invented the twist.
Yeah, right. Okay, here we go.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer and go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so.
Leave a toy for Johnny. Leave a doll for Mary. Leave something pretty for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto. You know that I know what you will see, 'cause that was once me. Hit it, hit it. You'll see mothers and soul brothers. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, oh Lord, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find, the kids are gonna love you so. Fill every stocking you find, they know that they need you so. I'm begging you, Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. If anyone wanna know, tell him Hank Ballard told so. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Never thought I'd realize I'd be singing a song with water in my eyes. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Don't leave nothing for me, I've had my chance, you see. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus.
That was James Brown, and the records we're hearing are from the collection of my guest, Ben Vaughan. In addition to Christmas records, there's always Christmas commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, from the years, any like Christmas jingles that have stuck in your mind?
Not Christmas jingles, but I can never forget the Norelco shaver.
Floating heads.
And Santa riding it through the snow. That to me meant Christmas was coming. When I was a kid and I saw that ad on TV, I knew that the countdown had begun.
I always had the same reaction, and I think they probably got their commercials on first, because that to me was also the sign that Christmas shopping season is on.
Yeah, we are definitely the TV generation, if that's how we know it's beginning.
What's the next record you've brought?
This is an open letter to Santa Claus from an open letter to Elvis Presley from Debbie Dabney, and she wants to spend Christmas with Elvis. And this is a song written by Bobby Darin and supposedly co-written with Don Kirshner, who was his publisher at the time. So no one really knows whether Don Kirshner has ever written a song. But if he did, this is it, I think, because this is the only time I've ever seen his name as a co-writer. But this is from 1956. I Want to Spend Christmas with Elvis.
Christmas with me, but if you won't, you ain't nothing but a reindeer prancing all the time. Well, if you ain't here for Christmas, then you ain't no friend of mine. If only you could hear what I'm saying, and Santa Claus could hear me praying, there isn't anything that I wouldn't pay if Elvis could be here on Christmas Day. But if he won't, I'd be so lonely, baby, I'd be so lonely. It's gonna be Heartbreak Noel.
It's gonna be Heartbreak Noel. Did you hear what I heard?
Do you hear what I hear?
Yeah. I think that she really rivals Jane Mansfield as a vocalist.
Oh, yeah, like well,
and The Girl Can't Help
Girl
It.
The Girl Can't Help It. Yeah, that sounded like really bad rock and roll movie singing.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was, too, really. Debbie Dabney, Here and Gone.
Well, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and thanks for spending Christmas Eve with us.
Well, shucks, thanks for having me.
Ben, there's one more song to take us out with.
Yeah, I don't think we can safely say we've done our job here unless we have a Mambo Christmas record. And this is we want to see Santa Do the Mambo by Big John Greer from 1954.
See Santa do the mambo, the mambo. See Santa do the mambo, the mambo. See Santa do the mambo, the mambo. Mambo Santa Claus. We wanna see Santa do the mambo, the mambo. See Santa do the mambo, the mambo. See Santa do the mambo, the mambo. Mambo Santa Claus. You don't have to bring me a choo-choo train. My sis don't want a toy.
Our thanks to Ben Vaughan. He has a new solo album called Mono USA on Bar None Records. This is Fresh Air.
This is Robert Siegel of All Things Considered. Coming up on today's program, we'll have news of Christmas Eve in Bethlehem and talk with a couple of pilgrims there who came all the way from Cairo, Egypt. We'll also be hearing in this year, which is the 150th anniversary year of publication of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, we'll be hearing about the history of that story a bit and also an extended reading from the story. We'll also be hearing today about developments in Ukraine as leaders of the Commonwealth of Independent States meet for a summit today, and a talk with Maggie Sansone, who plays the hammer dulcimer, and Carolyn Anderson Surik of Ensemble Galilee. The two of them are pioneering something called chamber folk on All Things Considered from National Public Radio.
Two years ago, director Jonathan Demme won every Oscar in sight with his film The Silence of the Lambs. But a lot of people in the gay community took exception to the movie's depiction of a cross-dressing killer. Whether or not Demme's new movie, Philadelphia, is his answer to those protesters, it is the first mainstream Hollywood movie about AIDS. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review.
This is a rough one. Rough because we need movies about AIDS, and if Philadelphia fails, Hollywood may decide not to try again. And rough because Philadelphia is worthy and well-crafted, and still not very good. Watching this movie is like watching some very skilled soldiers tiptoe through a field of landmines. Yes, by the end they've made it through, but you can't say they've gone very far. In tackling the subject of AIDS, Jonathan Demme and his screenwriter, Ron Nicewander, have decided to make a movie about job discrimination. Tom Hanks plays Andrew Beckett, a crack lawyer with a white shoe firm who's on his way to the top when the purple lesions that indicate Kaposi's sarcoma first appear. A little while later, a file he's working on is mysteriously lost, and shortly after that, he's fired from his firm. As the disease takes hold, Beckett decides to sue the firm for wrongfully dismissing him, but he can't find a lawyer who'll take the case. That's when he approaches Joe Miller, an ambulance chaser played by Denzel Washington. Trouble is, Miller is afraid of AIDS, doesn't like gays, and isn't crazy about the whole case.
Didn't you have an obligation to tell your employer you had this dreaded, deadly, infectious disease?
That's not the point. From the day they hired me to the day I was fired, I served my clients consistently, thoroughly, with absolute excellence. If they hadn't fired me, that's what I'd be doing today.
And they don't want to fire you for having AIDS, so in spite of your brilliance, they'd make you look incompetent, thus the mysterious lost file? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Correct. I was sabotaged.
I don't buy it, counselor.
That's very disappointing.
I don't see a case.
I have a case.
Hanks and Washington both turn in sturdy performances, and Hanks especially deserves a lot of credit for giving a feelingful portrayal without milking the audience for tears. But the trouble with Philadelphia is its central tactic. It's that most conventional and by now tiresome sort of movie, a courtroom drama, only with more preaching than usual. Worse, for some reason, Demme has staged most of the big speeches so that the actors are staring straight at the camera as they talk, lest we miss the point, they're preaching to the audience, which amounts to preaching to the converted. The people who really need to hear what this movie has to say probably aren't going to go. And so the audience is going to be full of nodding heads. Heads nodding yes, and I'm afraid nodding off as well. Philadelphia's a decent movie, and a rather dull movie, except for one extraordinary scene. About two-thirds of the way through, Washington and the terribly ailing Hanks confer while Hanks's stereo plays Maria Callas, singing an aria from André Chénier. Using his IV stand as a kind of partner, Hanks gets up and begins to sail across the room, singing along with Callas, and at the same time explaining to Washington what it is she's singing about. And as Hanks talks and sways, Washington gets a glimmer of what this gay man has lived and seen. Demme shoots the sequence with an air of mystery and passion that's entirely absent from the rest of the film, and for a moment Philadelphia takes off, dares to go beyond the expected. In that scene, Demme isn't just saying that gays are all right and shouldn't be discriminated against. He's saying something more. He's telling us that gays should be valued and celebrated, that in some ways their presence makes life better for everyone.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker. Philadelphia opened this week in New York, Los Angeles, and Toronto, and it opens across the country January 14th. Merry Christmas from all of us at Fresh Air. From Danny Miller, Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Joan Tuohy, Roberta Shurrock, Dorothy Farabee, Nancy Greenlease, Louisa Shafia, Devin Reif, Joyce Lieberman, Audrey Voblaitis, Richard Parker, Ron Barron, Chris Fraley, and Bob Alls. I'm Terry Gross. Have a great holiday.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced, and from the Vanguard Group of Investment Companies, with 74 mutual fund portfolios offering comprehensive investment and retirement services, 1-800-643-3395. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
We've met some remarkable people over the past year on Fresh Air. During the last week of 1993, we're going to feature excerpts from some of their interviews. On our next show, we'll hear from people who've risked their lives to report on Bosnia or to help the people trapped there. I'm Terry Gross. I hope you'll join us for the next Fresh Air.